That's where Americans a few years back ranked the father of their country. The poll asked respondents to choose the nation's greatest presidents, and they decided that Washington came in seventh. Now, it was a popular poll. In other words, people who don't necessarily know much about history were participating. Nevertheless, the George Washington fans mobilized in an effort to revive the first president's image. So instead of the pale face and the powdered wig of dollar bill fame, George's supporters preferred the images of Washington as a youthful frontier explorer and surveyor, and as a confident and determined general in midlife. It's quite true, of course, that popular opinions about famous people typically have very little to do with what the person actually did, and everything to do with how people feel about what they think the person did. So image makeovers do work. With some good PR and a little cooperation from the popular press, people can recover from a negative, bad image. Image makeovers are nothing new. History is littered with attempts. Some have been quite extraordinary. Of all the attempted image makeovers, though, perhaps none is as ambitious or as important as the attempt to remake the image of Judas Iscariot. The image of Judas attracts the attention of scholars of scripture and Jewish history, and even psychology and sociology. But most of us are more familiar with the attempted remakes that appear in more popular media, like movies and books. And in these venues, Judas is portrayed sometimes as simply a bit too greedy and money hungry. Other times he's depicted as confused and disillusioned, discouraged by Jesus's way of doing things. And sometimes we found the remake is altogether sympathetic, and Judas is actually portrayed as the hero of Jesus' story. He's the man with the courage needed to cause the confrontation between Jesus and the leaders that finally settles the question about Jesus and his mission. It'd be nice if one of the attempts at an image makeover would succeed, I suppose. At least it would help us sort out this unsettling story from Matthew and help us come to terms with the actions of Judas. It helps if we can provide some sort of rationale for the disloyal actions of Judas. I mean, we can, after all, understand the reasons for the actions of many characters in this part of the story. The Romans were doing what they always did to people who threatened the peace. Pilate did what he had to do to subdue a riot, and the soldiers were doing what they'd been trained to do. Even the actions of the Jewish leadership make sense. They were just trying to sustain their own ideas of what was right. And although we may not like what they did, we can understand what they did and why they did it. They acted true to form in very reasonable and expected ways. But not Judas. His actions don't quite add up. And that's why we are so interested in trying to explain, to understand, and to remake the picture of Judas. And it's necessary work because, as the story stands, this part is, well, simply too terrifying and too unnerving. And so what we do is we offer explanations and solutions to the problem of Judas. We think to ourselves, well, maybe Judas wasn't such a bad guy. Yeah, maybe he was rotten a little bit, but it just took a while to show. Or perhaps we can speculate that what brought about the sudden change in Judas was this temptation of money or the lure of power, or some disillusionment. Honestly, things that we've probably experienced to one degree or another. It's these explanations that help us get a handle on Judas. And maybe they don't quite rehabilitate his image, but they do at least make him more understandable and more logical. And it's important that we are able to do that, because if Judas can't be explained, then we all have a problem. If Judas can't be explained, well, we're left with a traitor with no reason. And if we don't have some reason, we are left with one of the 12 most blessed men ever to live, a man who spent 2 or 3 years walking and talking and eating and laughing and learning with Jesus, a man handpicked to be one of Jesus' closest friends, a man who could ask Jesus anything he wanted, whenever he wanted. We're left with a man who has been chosen to be an apostle of a faith that would transform the world forever. We've got a man with all of that who rejects it all, who betrays it all, and tries to destroy it all. And that just doesn't make sense. And that's the scary part. Think about it. If someone who had all of that going for him could still turn traitor and betray the Lord, then what hope do we all have? If one of the chosen 12 blew it and fell prey to sin and evil, then what makes us think that we're so secure? And if Judas could reject Christ for no good reason, then what's keeping us from doing the same? It will not do to have Judas as a good disciple who mysteriously, illogically, faithlessly, suddenly goes bad and betrays his Lord. We can't really live into that reality, because then, well, no one is safe. We're not safe. And no one ever can be sure that it won't happen to them. It should shake us all to our core, because when you see Judas fall, you must realize that separating you from Judas is nothing. Judas, blessed by God, could still betray Jesus. You and me, blessed by God, can still betray Jesus, and we do. Maybe not in the exact same way as Judas did, but when we do betray Jesus, it is a matter of broken trust. And broken trust lies behind or at the bottom of so much of the suffering and hurt that people experience in their lives. Statistics reveal that 1 in 2 marriages will end in divorce. And that stat does not change for Christians. No marriage ever ends before one or more betrayals. Children are betrayed by parents who don't have the time to talk to them, or the courage to discipline them, or the commitment to listen to them. And children betray parents when they mock, neglect, and dishonor them. Betrayal of the other shatters homes, strains work relationships, and destroys friendships. We betray our Lord and his truth when we remain silent, when we need to speak the truth, but ignore the opportunity to proclaim his gospel because we fear the opinion of others. These are just examples of many acts of betrayal, and they all break trust. And this is the very nature and definition of sin. Sin is failure to honor God and to trust his word and promise. Sin is broken trust. There are few experiences more crushing and more debilitating than breaking trust with someone. You stand before the hurt and searching gaze with nothing to say. And what can you say? When you break trust, the deed is done. The sin is reality. The betrayal is complete. And you're left with no excuse, no explanation. Apologies ring hollow and do not restore trust. There is nothing left but regret and anguish and bottomless emptiness. The very life seems to be sucked out of your soul. It's really hard to fix broken trust. Break trust and you are deemed untrustworthy. You are not worthy of trust. And it's devastating. And you are helpless to do anything about it. When trust is broken, most times it can't be repaired, not easily. And an image makeover does no good at all. What's needed is an identity makeover. You've got to start from scratch. Trust must be recreated. We have to be remade. And that's what God does. He remakes us. He gives us a new identity. He restores trust. We start over from scratch as a new creation. It's both repulsive and fascinating that Judas ignored the sincere warning of Jesus and committed his betrayal with a kiss. Judas's kiss was the kiss of death, but the soul that was lost was his own. He sealed the deal. He sealed his fate with a kiss, and his soul was gone. Witness his despair as he flings the 30 pieces of silver back at the priests. Yet as we read, he swings from the end of a rope. You break trust and you lose your soul. You break trust and you die. And so God intervenes. He makes us alive again. He gives us a new soul, a new us. The Holy Spirit, the breath of God, breathes into us with the intimacy and the tenderness of a kiss, with the nearness of water on our forehead and bread and juice on our tongues and in our stomach. He breathes his breath into us and we are alive again. And more than that, we are brand new, a new creation, a new identity. A new you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He remakes what sin destroys, and he gives life to those who are empty and dead inside. Betrayers become God's children. Those guilty of broken trust are forgiven. Such remarkable giving does not come without a price. Indeed, it costs dearly. The betrayal of God, the willful sin against the Creator, the rebellion of the creation means the betrayal of the Son, the rejection of the Savior, and the crucifixion of the Lord. Something has to be done about breaking trust. And Jesus does it. He takes the penalty. He pays the price. The shame and the emptiness and the suffering are his. But the forgiveness, the freedom, the joy is ours. He dies and gives up his spirit. The spirit breathes into you and you live a new creation. And when trust has been broken, an image makeover will never do. Good PR will never fix what has been broken, because what we need is a completely new creation. And in Jesus, that's what we get. The old has gone. Behold, the new has come. And so we don't need to give Judas an image makeover or find an explanation that makes sense of his blatant betrayal. No, it's actually better the way it is. It's better that the gospel writers offer no easy explanation. It's better that it makes no sense. It's better that the story of Judas rocks us and frightens us into taking seriously the sad reality of our own devastating betrayals. Explanations and understanding don't restore broken trust. Only the incredible forgiveness of Christ will bring that trust back. Only the new reality of God's new creation can overcome and conquer the reality of our broken trust. And it does. For us, it does. In Christ, we are restored, and we are trustworthy again. Alleluia. Amen. I invite you to stand and join with me as we sing our song of praise. And that song is Lord, Be Glorified. Please stand if you are able.